Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. This morning I want us to consider out of the treasure of the heart. Our text is going to be from Matthew 12. I invite you to turn there as we begin our study. Again, we need to be mindful of those that are unable to be with us this morning. Be praying for them, be praying for the work, and thanking God for all the many blessings that He has given to us. Sometimes we focus on all the other things and neglect how great of a God that He is toward us. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In this short passage, Jesus gives us some very important principles about what is in our heart and what is in our life. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. We're only going to bring out of our heart what is in our heart, what we put into it. It's interesting. Some people say when we talk about religion, you shouldn't call people names. That's unkind to call people names. Well, Jesus didn't hear that bit of information because He called names. And what does He say in our text? He says, brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what things do you have in your heart? And this word vipers catches my attention, brood of vipers. This is one of the things that I like the least. Snakes. I can just hear my grandmother's voice in my head. When I would say, I'm going down to the creek or I'm going back to the pond, and she'd say, look out for the cottonmouths and the water moccasins. She'd say, stay away from the prickly pear. That's where the rattlesnakes like to stay. And Mr. So-and-so, the next holler over, you should see the one that he got and he has hanging on the side of his gate out front. I don't care for snakes. Some people like them, but Jesus uses snakes, vipers, to illustrate a point. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And that's what He was calling the Pharisees. You're just a bunch of snakes. There's nothing good in you. You're poisonous. What you say is going to kill people. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Only a rotten tree is going to produce rotten fruit. And their hearts were so rotten that they were speaking things against Jesus. So this is an appeal for them to be honest. If it's a good tree, then call it a good tree. And He's making reference to Himself. If I am good, then say that I am good, and my works show that I am good. Jesus was the good tree. All the works that He did were good. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? You don't know what's good. You're evil. And you're saying, talking about things that are good, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. These people were wicked, like poisonous snakes, with corrupt natures, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And friend, the prince of this world, Satan, knows that the message that we allow to live in our heart will shape our heart forever. And he's going to be busy every day trying to fill our heart with his messages, those poisonous messages, his messages. And if we allow them to dwell in our heart, they are going to damn our soul. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is what Jim was saying just a few minutes ago. We all know people that obeyed the gospel, that started following Christ, but then we let Christ depart from our heart. We took our eyes off of Christ. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keeping them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Friends, when we find Jesus Christ, when we find God, when we find what he has done for us, we need to never let him go. We need to take him. We need to bury Christ in our heart and never let Satan come in and try to take him out. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. The treasure is what a person values in his heart. And what a person does and says brings forth is a clear indication whether he is a good man or an evil man. How do you know if a man is good or evil? You just spend some time talking to him. How do you know what's in a man's heart? You just spend some time talking to him. And this applies, this is a general rule, it applies to anything. You just think about, I don't know if mundane is the right word, but things, I'll just use some examples. You start talking to somebody and they say, hey, did you catch the ball game the other night? See, they've got sports on their mind. Hey, did I tell you about going golfing the other day? They like going golfing. I'm going fishing this weekend. They talk about going fishing, talk about hunting, they talk about politics. All of that stuff is in their heart, in their mind. The question is, do we talk about that stuff more than we talk about Christ? What do we have more of in our heart, in our mind? Again, we aren't going to talk about it. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't carry on a conversation with somebody about golf or sports or a lot of other things because I just haven't put that in my head. Nothing wrong with that. I just haven't put that in my head. And if we want to talk to others about Christ, we've got to put Christ in our head, in our heart. And not just to talk to other people, but to protect ourselves. It's a protection for us. And it's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's the richest treasure there is. The Word of God. Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. See, whatever people accumulate, they've always worried about losing it. Back at this time, moth and rust destroy. If they had clothes, the moths could come in and eat them. If they had coins made out of metal, that rust could destroy those coins. They had valuables in their house. The houses were simply made where it would be easy for someone to cut through, knock down part of the wall, and come in and steal. And you see, whatever we had, and it's the same today. Sometimes we think about or we worry about, where can I put this so if somebody came on my property, they aren't going to steal it. We can think about that, but we can't stop anybody from stealing anything that we have. The only thing that we can stop them from stealing is the treasure that we have in our heart. And if we have that in our heart, they can steal everything else that we have, but we still have that treasure. And what's more valuable, all of that stuff that we have, or that treasure that we have laid up in our heart? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So does that mean that we shouldn't take safeguards to protect what we have? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We just need to realize the value of earthly things and heavenly things. Earthly things and heavenly things. We shouldn't fall in love with our clothes, our houses, our cars, our material possessions. Everything in this world is corruptible, falling away. It's wearing out. It's fading away. You know, Carol and I joke every so often about getting one of those fancy little convertible cars. And I think about it for 5 seconds and that's enough. Been there, done that. Don't need to try it again. And I was looking through some old photos and our daughter was at our house the other day and there was a picture and I said, there's my red Mustang. And that was, you know, 40 plus years ago. And that was so nice and shiny when I bought it. And when I sold it, I basically gave it away. The wear and tear and rust and this and that. And that's what happens to things in this world. But friends, God is forever. God is not going to become obsolete. God is not going to wear out. God will keep His promises. We have lifetime warranties on things that we buy. When those warranties fall apart, they no longer exist, God will not fail or falter. And if we have given ourselves to Him and belong to Him, we can rely on the truth that He will never leave us or forsake us. It's a sure thing. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. And the real emphasis in life is not accumulating things, but doing the will of God. Practicing our righteousness, not to be seen of men, but of God. And Satan does a good job of distracting people on this. He gets them tied up, caught up in accumulating things of the world, or doing religious things, not to give God the glory, but that they might get the glory and look and see what we've done. But lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. How do we do that? There's all kinds of ways we can do that, by our prayers, by reading God's word, by being here in the attendance. And if we aren't here, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's funny, it's sad, but people will pay great money to have season tickets at some sporting event. I've got season tickets. This is where my seats are. And they'll go to them all the time. And then we look at so many pews that are empty because people don't see the value of the heavenly things. When our righteousness is approved by God and not to be done to be seen of men, then we are making a deposit in God's heavenly bank. We can help somebody out. We can send them a card. We can pick up the phone and call them. We can encourage them. And then we tell everybody what we did, right? No, we don't do that. We do it to bring glory and honor to God. So our emphasis should be on spiritual things and doing things with spiritual purposes. And our deeds do have a way of being stockpiled. Lay up for yourselves. I hit my clicker trying to get my water bottle open here. Lay up for yourselves. We do it again and again. If you work at a place and they have a some kind of retirement plan or a 401k, they take that money and lay it aside regularly, over and over and over and over. You're laying it up for when you retire. Do it and do it again, having the security of not ever losing that reward. It is guaranteed in God's bank. Friends, you don't have to turn on the TV for too long, and you'll hear about this bank that closed, that bank that closed, this bank collapsed, they're going to bail this bank out, this is going to happen. Somebody will talk about, we're going to switch currency completely, there's a financial collapse coming. And that's happened since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of time. We put something, we make investments in God's bank, and it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Where are you going to get a better deal than that? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we're spending our lives and energies on earthly things, then our lives are not what God wants. We cannot spend all our time on earthly things and say that our hearts are with God. Stop and think about that. You ask somebody, can you do this? Can we count on you to do this or that in the service? Or can you be here? Well, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be there. Then I'm going to be gone. But I'll be glad to do whatever you want me to do. We cannot spend all our time on earthly things and say that our hearts are with God. And this is a revealing passage, because you can tell a person's love and interest by looking at their treasures. And almost anything people do shows where their treasure is, whatever that treasure may be. Money, boats, houses, diplomas. And you stop and think about this. You know, some people, 40, 50, 60 years later, they still worship the school they went to. And, you know, some people may think that's an offensive statement, but you just stop and think about it. They're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and they still worship where they graduated from college. And I have been in some conversations where there's other preachers around, and so what school did you go to? What school did you go to? They weren't talking about high school. They were talking about a college for preachers. Some preachers sound as if they are more full of school spirit than the Holy Spirit. Well, I went to this university and I got this degree here and there, and then I went on and I studied over there. And they talk more about school spirit than the Holy Spirit. Where our hearts lie, our interests lie. And where our interests lie is where our heart is. So Christ uses several different illustrations about this heart and this treasure and this tree and the fruit. And he talks about our eyes. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. And I think many of us can relate to this slide up here, if you can see it. Most of us wear glasses. We have glaucoma or cataracts or work at an eye office. There's eye problems. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Friends, do we have light in our heart? Do we have light in our eye? Do we have light in our mind? Or do we have darkness? The eye allows images inside the body. If it's clear light, clear being sound or healthy, that allows us to see things correctly. And I tell you, one of the biggest ways to do that, to see if we are seeing things clearly, is to open God's Word. And when we hear something, we take what somebody says and see if we can put it on, put our finger and read it here in the Bible. Then our eye is going to see clearly. If our eye is bad or darkness, darkness in the Bible represents sin and ignorance. This is what Jesus is talking about. We'll not see things the way they should be, and as a result, we will be filled with things that are ungodly. We can be ignorant about some things, and it doesn't matter. We can be ignorant about other things, and we can lose our soul over it. We can lose our soul over it. And people will say, as long as you know you believe in God and you've got a good heart and this and that. But friends, God makes it clear of what He wants us to do. He made it easy to understand that when we read, we might know. He had it recorded. And Jesus said, the Word is going to judge us in the last day. So we need to make sure we've got good spiritual eyes. Some things from Satan's point of view, we grow more, seeing things from Satan's point of view, we grow more like him. One may start out with a clear eye, but it can become dimmer and dimmer until it is full of evil, greed, sin, and money. How does that happen? We get away from God's Word. We start listening to man's Word. We get away from Christians. We start hanging around people of the world. Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Paul probably didn't know, like Jesus didn't know, you shouldn't call people names and call them unloving and slanderers and despisers of good and such. But you see, when our eye, when our heart is dark, how far we can get away from things. And we see that in this biological mess that's being pushed down children's throats, calling evil good. And I was listening to somebody, a man, and he said, you know, when I was a young boy, I wanted to be somebody different every weekend. I wanted to be something different every weekend. And he said, you know, I'm glad when I wanted, the weekend I wanted to be a pirate, that my parents didn't take me and have my eye taken out and my hand cut off and put a hook on me. And he was making a really good point. Children are children. Why take a child and mutilate the child? The eye is full of darkness. We must be careful. None of us can serve two masters. The one who has a clear eye is serving God. The one who has a dark eye is serving Satan. No man can serve both God and Satan. We cannot be in light and dark. We cannot serve God and Satan. And what we love is what we give our devotion and attention to. Not what we say we love, but what we show we love. Very few people will say they love money and hate God. I may say I love God, do I? Why is it that I cannot attend worship because I am doing this, that, and the other? Do our actions match our words? What we do shows what we love. What is our treasure? Matthew 6. Friends, life is not about the stuff that we have, but it's the stuff that makes us up. It's about our character, our desires, our passions. It's what we put in our heart. And what does God want us to fill our heart and mind with? Jesus Christ. Our life must be defined by the heart of God and our heart becoming like God's heart. If we are children of God, we should have the same heart that God has. And God longs to fill the emptiness that echoes in our hearts. And God created us to hunger for Him and to thirst for Him. And He wants us to open up the door of our heart and let Him move in. But there's a challenge we face, and that's time. We don't have all the time in the world, so we have to make choices. Where will we go? What will we do? Time presses us every day. What are we going to fill our time with? What will we fill our time with? What will we fill our heart with? We have to take 1 minute at a time and choose how to use that 1 minute. Once it's gone, it's gone. The only minute that is real and available for us to act on is the minute we have right now. Do we give people we meet each day our time? If not, how will we influence them? And this is a challenge. When we go somewhere and, you know, we've got a list of a dozen things to do and buy, and we, after I go here, then I got to go here, and I got to go here and there, and I got to get back, and I got to do this and that. And you have somebody at the door stop you, and, hey, do you have a minute for me to talk to you about a good cause? And you know they want to talk to you for half an hour and then get money from you. We have challenges, but we need to learn and pick and choose to spend some time with people so that we can influence them. We can't influence somebody if we don't talk with them. Verse 36, I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. So words indicate the feeling of our heart. Jesus says one will not speak what is not in our heart. That is why men will render an account for what they say. Our mouth does not say something unless our heart is thinking it. And whatever we say, good or bad, we're going to have to give an account for in the day of judgment. The opposite is also true. We will not speak to the lost about the need for them to change their life unless that's on our mind. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I tell you, one of the easiest things is just carry our Come Worship With Us cards, and you have a conversation with somebody, and you say, here, let me give you one of our cards. And you're communicating with them. They aren't going to feel intimidated. And it just, the more we do that, the more we want to do that. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. In Matthew 15, judgment will be based on a man's words. Those words will either prove him to be a righteous man or an evil man. Our words or our lack of words. Something positive, something negative, silence. In Matthew 10, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, it's interesting. We have a mouth that works and a mouth that can talk. And we can talk nonstop for this, that, and the other. And then when it comes to talking about the Bible, we just can't get the words out. Friends, we need to put His words in our heart, in our mind. We need to speak His words, sing His songs. We introduce others to our Heavenly Father. And there should be a fire in our hearts that we can't keep quiet about our Master and our Savior. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," God is our owner. He paid a great price to redeem us and sacrificed Himself to make you His own. He purchased you, He purchased us with His blood. So He has the right to set our steps, to determine our purpose. He's our master and owner. And His position in our lives makes it clear the responsibility of those that call themselves Christians. We are to obey. We are to submit. And how do we obey? We obey right away. We obey all the way. We obey in a happy way. And obedience is a tool of transformation. When we obey God, we change what we do. When we change what we do, we change our heart, our mind. And the more we do it, the more we are going to be transformed into His image. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We must lift God higher than everything else that we love and desire. We must exalt Him. We must acknowledge His authority and seat Him on the throne of our hearts. Out of the treasure of the heart, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Friend, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. What are we recognized for? Are we a good tree or a bad tree? Friends, every battle has a victor. One that stands defeated in the battle between good and evil, between light and dark. And we know the contest is over. You hear people talking about this battle on TV every day, and the coming battle in Armageddon and all of that. Friends, the battle is over. The battle took place on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus won. Satan is utterly defeated. The question today is, which side are we going to stand on? Our victory is certain. It's already determined if we choose Jesus. And we can live victoriously because Jesus wins. But if we choose darkness, we stand defeated because the prince of this world has already lost. Friends, are you a New Testament Christian? Out of the treasure of the heart, if we want to be pleasing to God, if that's what we have in our heart, we need to do what He says, to be obedient to Him, and then take that treasure and just bury it in our heart and serve Him the rest of our lives. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.